Welcome to the Vet Staff Podcast, the place where veterinary professionals can join me, Julie South, in discovering how we can all get our heads screwed on straight, get excited about going to work on Monday mornings, and lead less stressful and more fulfilling lives at home and at work. Today, in episode 152, we're marking the seventh installment of our ongoing series where we're delving into forgiveness at home, in our communities, and at work in your vet clinic. Today, we're looking at the forgiveness where ethics are involved, the dilemma of justice and accountability. Before we dive into that entangled topic, though, of ethics and forgiveness in the workplace, let's have a quick word from the Vet Staff's podcast partner, vetclinicjobs.com. The Vet Staff Podcast is proudly powered by vetclinicjobs.com, the new and innovative global job board reimagining veterinary recruitment, connecting veterinary professionals with clinics that shine online. VetClinicJobs.com is your go-to resource for finding the perfect career opportunities and helping vet clinics power up their employer branding game. Visit VetClinicJobs.com today to find vet clinics that shine online so veterinary professionals can find them. VetClinicJobs.com. Today, we're considering forgiveness and ethics, and we'll also touch a little bit on justice. In the veterinary sector, the tension between justice and forgiveness can be seen in various situations, most often, although not always, involving ethical dilemmas relating to the treatment of animals and interactions with clients. I did a bit of digging on the VCNZ website to see what kind of events end up before the council's disciplinary committee. Now, from what I could see, it appears the website hasn't been updated since 2019, or no complaints have been laid for a long time, or the decisions are now only available in a members-only area of the website, or the most recent decisions. So, the Kiwi cases I'm going to refer to are a few years old. Because of that, I'm also going to include some more recent international ones from the UK and Australia. The Code of Professional Conduct for Veterinarians in New Zealand is a 121-page document that was last updated in January 2020, so not so long ago. Like many registered professions, it requires its practitioners to be fit and proper. In general terms, fit and proper refers to someone of good character who abides by the laws of their country and elsewhere and is likely to do so whilst being the holder of the authorization or an authorization. An authorization covers, for example, your APC. Or a real estate salesperson's right to sell real estate, or your insurance broker's right to advise on insurance matters, or the men and women sitting on the flight deck of an aircraft, driving the bus or train you caught to work, or the last licensed cab driver, not an Uber driver, cab driver, who drove you from A to B. The results of failing that fit and proper test have different ramifications in different jurisdictions. In veterinary, medical and transport, for example, lives are at stake, human and animal. When it comes to Veterinary Council disciplinary findings, consideration is given not only to the legal requirement. In one case that I found, it involved monetary theft, in another, fraud, but also how an individual's actions reflect on their profession as a whole. Remember, regardless of what the offence, and I say offence in air quotes, is, forgiving someone doesn't mean that you agree or condone their actions. What it does is it frees you up emotionally so you and they can move on. If you haven't listened to the first episode in this series, go and have a listen because that's where I cover this. You're looking for episode 146. I will put links in the notes where you're listening to this on the audio app of your choice. So what type of ethical dilemmas might occur in a veterinary clinic where forgiveness could be required? We have instances of medical malpractice and negligence. Vets and nurses may occasionally make mistakes or face situations where their actions result in harm to animals. In these events, clients may demand accountability and justice, such as compensation for medical bills or legal action against the veterinary professional. We, vet staff, had a situation that involved a surgery near miss with one of our locum vets a few years ago. It was exactly that. Actually, it was more than a few years ago now. It was way back in, when was it? 2019. It was exactly that, a near miss. The vet had a bit of a brain blip. The term he used would need to be bleeped out if I used it on this podcast. The end result was no harm was done to the animal. It took the vet, understandably, a bit of getting over. He doubted his ability to be a surgeon for a long while after. For him to move on, self-forgiveness would have been involved. We never actually talked about that, he and I. From a pastoral care perspective, though, I arranged for him to have as many sessions with a counsellor as he required at the time. The top brass at the group where he was locuming, however, did not forgive. They refused to have him locum at any of their clinics. Interestingly, though, the team, whom he'd worked alongside for a few days a week for quite a few years, really wanted him back. As far as they were concerned, there was nothing to forgive. No harm was done. Steps were taken by him as soon as he thought harm had occurred. They thought he'd done everything any reasonable person could have done in the situation. They considered him competent, fit and proper, an upstanding registered veterinarian that they were proud to work alongside. The lack of forgiveness from head office was unequivocal. The clinical director was unwilling to budge on their decision made. On the vet forgiveness matrix, which I talked about last week, that decision would have been made from someone standing in the bottom right quadrant where the unwillings hang out. I'll put a link to that episode if you're interested in finding out more about the vet clinic forgiveness matrix again on the show notes of this episode. We also, then getting back to ethical and moral forgiveness dilemmas, we also have the euthanasia and end-of-life decisions that some vets feel like they have to make all too frequently. There are some vets who struggle with self-forgiveness every time they're asked or required to euthanize an animal. Regardless of whether it's the humane thing to do, they still struggle. There are some vet nurses who also struggle to support the vet in these procedures. For them, it's an absolute no. On the other side of the end-of-life dilemma are the clients who can't afford treatment, which may result in euthanizing an animal. Then the vet or the nurse has a dilemma of their resentment towards the client for being in that situation. I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. The thought that if someone can't afford treatment, they shouldn't be a pet owner in the first place. Really distressing also is when there's animal abuse, intentional harm or neglect, when reporting to the appropriate authorities is required. This can be especially hard for large animal vets who have formed a meaningful relationship with the client. Maybe the farmer has his or her own mental stuff going on, depression or inability to cope, whatever. It still creates the situation where forgiveness is still a choice. In situations like this, we also have the questions about justice for the abused animal versus the possibility of forgiveness or rehabilitation for the owner. What about veterinary research as well? There may be ethical dilemmas related to animal testing and experimentation for some vets and some nurses. On one hand, you've got researchers who may argue that the pursuit of scientific knowledge justifies certain procedures that could harm animals, while others are advocating for humane practices and the need for accountability when animal welfare is compromised. And then there are some who have the viewpoint that no testing or experimentation is justified, ever. Veterinarians are held to professional ethical standards. Allied veterinary professionals soon will be. And this includes providing appropriate care and maintaining client confidentiality. When these standards are violated, issues of accountability and justice come to the fore. Veterinarians and veterinary nurses need to ensure their communication is top-notch, that is, effective when speaking with their clients. If or when it's not, this is where misunderstandings and or miscommunications and or misrepresentations occur. The client then feels wronged and or holds the veterinary professional responsible for the outcomes. Trying to address these issues while upholding professional ethics and maintaining understanding can be hugely challenging. I'm not saying that any of this is easy. In the veterinary sector, the tension between justice and forgiveness is particularly sensitive because of the human-animal bonds that clients have with their animals and pets. Veterinary professionals often find themselves in situations where navigating these ethical dilemmas to ensure the well-being of animals, whilst also considering the emotional needs of their client, feels like they're walking in an emotional minefield or on a tightrope. One wrong word or one misstep and everything could blow up. Finding the right balance between justice, accountability, and forgiveness is a complex and ethically challenging situation or space to find yourself in. There are all sorts of instances where forgiveness is a choice. I'm not saying it's easy, but I am saying it's a choice. The moral dilemma is what makes it fraught with tension. For example, how do you forgive the vet nurse, for example, who was struck off the RCVS register after she was convicted of communicating with someone the RCVS believed to be aged under 16 for the purpose of sexual gratification? The RCVS Veterinary Nurse Disciplinary Committee made its unusual decision to grant anonymity to an individual referred to as X, who appeared before them in March 2021. This decision was based on the acknowledgement of, I quote, a real and immediate threat to the individual's safety and security if their identity was disclosed. The case involved the vet nurse pleading guilty in 2020 to attempting to communicate with a person under 16 for sexual gratification. As a result, they received a probation order, had to register on the Sexual Offences Register for 5 years, and were subject to a Sexual Offences Prevention Order for 5 years. The committee assessed whether this conviction constituted serious professional misconduct, citing aggravating factors such as the risk of harm to a minor, premeditated misconduct involving multiple online platforms, predatory behaviour, and the involvement of a vulnerable 15-year-old. Sarah Jones, who chaired the committee and who spoke on its behalf, said, and I quote, The committee was satisfied that the sentence imposed on X, which included X being subject to a sexual harm prevention order until 2025, resulted in the profession of veterinary nurses being brought into disrepute and, in the committee's judgment, public confidence in the profession would be undermined if the committee did not find that the conviction rendered X unfit to practice as a veterinary nurse. End quote. How about the vet who cashed in by performing needless hip operations on dogs for financial gain? How would you forgive him? He was struck off, but he still operated on three dogs, a Cocker Spaniel, a Staffy Bull Terrier, and a West Highland Terrier and Akita Cross. Each had needless hip operations in 2016 and 2017. The vet had been a senior partner at a Medivet practice in Kent in the UK. Or how do you forgive the vet nurse who was struck off the RCVS register for twice being under the influence of alcohol whilst working as a locum? She did this twice in 2016 and 2017. When the time came, she didn't attend the hearing. It was also alleged that a prior conviction of drink driving in 2013 rendered her unfit to practice, but she still did until she was struck off. When incidences like these, and ones where no animals were endangered, like the vet who faced disciplinary action including a 9-month suspension, supervision upon return, and a $43,000 fine by the VCNZ because of unprofessional conduct, lack of respect for colleagues, and inadequate responses to the Complaints Assessment Committee, that came under the heading of bullying. And then there's the Irish vet in Perth who, in 2021, was struck off after a boozy weekend away with friends after she injected herself and them, her friends, with ketamine. When forgiveness becomes a moral dilemma, how do you get to the point where you can forgive? Here are some steps you can take so that you can consciously choose to forgive. Remember, I'm not saying that by forgiving, you condone what was done. Neither am I saying it's going to be an easy path to walk. But with willingness, anything is possible. When you've got a whole raft of moral complexities going on, here are some things that you can take into account to help you get to the point where you can forgive. First, seek to understand the moral dilemma. Clearly define to yourself the moral dilemma you're in and understand why you find it challenging. You have to consider it from your own viewpoint because the other person stepped over the line. So obviously, maybe, perhaps, they weren't even considering it. We'll look at that in a minute. But first, shine a light on your conflicting values and principles, which are being played out right now, which you think you'll be compromising if you forgive. So seek to understand the moral dilemma. Then empathize and reflect. If possible, attempt to empathize with everyone involved. What do you think could have caused them to do what they did? Attempt to walk a few moons in their moccasins. What would it have been like for them at the time? With empathy comes your willingness to seek perspective. If walking a few moons in their moccasins doesn't help with empathy, then talk to people you trust. Friends, family members, or mentors who are willing and able to give different perspectives on what could have happened or actually what did happen. So we've covered that you need to seek to understand your moral dilemma. And then if you're struggling with that, then empathize and reflect on what could have made them do what they did. Then with empathy comes a willingness to seek perspective, because you're walking a few moons in their shoes. Then you need to look at and reflect on your own values and principles. Ask yourself whether forgiveness aligns with your core beliefs. Maybe you didn't grow up with the word forgiveness, but you hold strong on the value of compassion or empathy. Are you able to forgive using those personal values instead? Of course, you need to evaluate the extent of the harm caused or done. In the example I gave of our locum vet and their near miss, no harm was done. Ask yourself whether forgiveness would have been the right thing to do in that situation, appropriate given the nature and the consequence of the wrongdoing. So always look at what was the extent of the harm done. Are you just not forgiving them because you just don't forgive? Always, where possible, communicate. If you're able, have an open and honest conversation with the person involved. Let them know your feelings, concerns, and your expectations. They can't mind read you any more than you have the magical skill of mind reading them. Just because you forgive someone doesn't mean to say you're giving them carte blanche right to go out and do it all again. Make sure that you set boundaries to protect yourself in the future, especially if your professional reputation might also be at stake. And if forgiveness is just too hard to involve, seriously consider professional help, a mediator or a counselor. If you're grappling with your own moral dilemmas or actions, then make sure that you forgive yourself. Acknowledge your mistakes, learn from them, and make a promise to yourself to commit to investing in your own personal growth and development. Check out episode 149, the first one in the series on self-forgiveness. I heard from a vet last week who thanked me for this episode. Apparently, she said it made a huge difference and was just what she needed to hear and do at that time. So I'll put the link to that with this episode notes. Keep in mind, please, that forgiveness isn't an instant fix. It's not going to automagically necessarily happen overnight. Forgiveness needs time and patience. Unfortunately, it often takes time to heal and to let go of destructive and negative feelings, especially if you've been hanging on to them for a very long time. Be patient with yourself and the process. When you consider the bigger picture, the broader impact of forgiveness, it can contribute to your personal and professional growth, to reconciliation, and the well-being of relationships, workplaces, and communities. Remember that forgiveness is a personal journey and there is no one-size-fits-all approach. It's important to make decisions that align with your values and provide you with a sense of closure and healing, even in the face of moral dilemmas. Is forgiveness of yourself and others part of your clinic's ethos? It's just what you'll do. This is how it is at your clinic, you forgive. If you do have a culture of forgiveness and your clinic is currently advertising for staff, you can make your advertisements get stronger legs and have more impact and attract the type of job applicant you want by shouting about this using your vet clinic business listing at vetclinicjobs.com, the place where good employers shine online and can be found by vets and nurses looking for jobs with good employers. If you want to shine brighter than other clinics, then set yourself up with a premium listing. I promise it won't break the bank. Because then you'll be able to include this aspect of your clinic's culture as part of your clinic's business profile. Clinic values is a special searchable field that job seekers can use to check out a vet clinic's culture when they're applying for jobs. Visit vetclinicjobs.com and check it out for yourself. As I said, you can start advertising your jobs for free. As soon as you've set up your free clinic's profile. Again, we've barely scratched the surface of forgiveness. We've peeled off another layer of the onion. As you may have heard me say before, if you've been following this series, think of forgiveness as being like a cloak woven from diverse threads of psychology, philosophy, and human experience. A cloak that, when you wrap it around yourself, has the power to heal wounds, to mend relationships, and to set you on a path towards growth. Next week, we're going to be looking at the healing of collective wounds through forgiveness. Until then, remember that forgiveness is a journey, one that starts within and radiates outward, touching lives and transforming hearts. This is Julie South signing off, inviting you to go out there and be the most fantabulous forgiving version of you can be. The Vet Staff Podcast is proudly powered by VetClinicJobs.com, the new and innovative global job board reimagining veterinary recruitment, connecting veterinary professionals with clinics that shine online. VetClinicJobs.com is your go-to resource for finding the perfect career opportunities and helping vet clinics power up their employer branding game. Visit VetClinicJobs.com today to find vet clinics that shine online so veterinary professionals can find them. VetClinicJobs.com. Thank you.